Leviticus chapter 2, these are God's words. When anyone offers a grain offering to Yahweh, his offering shall be of fine flour. And you shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. You shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Yahweh. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to Yahweh made by fire. And if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering in a pan, it shall be of fine flour unleavened mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. If your offering is a grain offering in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to Yahweh. And when it is presented to the priest, you shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Yahweh. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to Yahweh made by fire. No grain offering which you bring to Yahweh shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven, nor any honey, in any offering to Yahweh made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to Yahweh, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to Yahweh, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads. Then you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. And then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and part of its oil, with all the frankincense, as an offering made by fire to Yahweh. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Once Israel was settled up with the Lord, if a sin had been committed, then depending on who had committed what kind of sin, there were two types of sin offerings. And we are going to get to those when we get to chapter 4. But once Israel was settled up with the Lord, if there wasn't a particular sin that was being repented of, you'd go straight to the three main offerings. The one that we heard about last time in chapter 1, verses 3 through 17, is the ascension. And then there is now this one, the tribute. And then there is the fellowship offering in the next chapter. But the tribute is a more literal translation of what is being called here the grain offering. It actually doesn't have the word grain in it at all. Just like the whole burnt offering didn't mean whole or burnt at all. It was just the word for ascension. And so this offering is the tribute. It is brought to a king by a subject. You bring it in recognition that he is the king and you are the subject, and you bring it in rejoicing that you belong to him. It's a way of saying, I am so glad that I belong to you, my king. Everything that I have is due to your good rule and your protection, and I would give everything back to you, except you are the king and are not needy. I and the subject, and I am needy. And so the tribute comes as a memorial then of the fact that he is our own king and we are his own subjects. It is a recognition that we are in covenant with him, and it is brought by the lesser then to the greater one. It is an acknowledgement that it is a mercy and honor just to be permitted into his presence. Now everything in verse 2, the oil, actually can't see from that far away. Well, already in verse 1, the oil and the frankincense, and then this handful of oil and with frankincense because Aaron and his sons don't want to eat the frankincense. So all of the frankincense and then a handful of the fine flour and a little bit of the oil, those go into the part that is burned as the memorial portion, as the real tribute portion. But the rest, since it belongs to the king and has been brought near to the king, actually becomes fine flour and oil representative of the Holy of Holies. Every time it says most holy throughout this chapter, it's actually a reference to the Holy of Holies that was especially where Yahweh was. And it's a reminder that the Lord has come and he has come near to his people, made his presence among them in such glorious fashion, and that there is in their presence a Holy of Holies. Even though the rest of the people cannot go in there, the priests can go in there. The priests who are serving in these copies and shadows of that great redemption to come in the Lord Jesus, in which we will ascend and we will have direct experience of God as him being our own covenant God and us being his own covenant people, and we will have fellowship with him. But for now, the priests minister this to the people. And so when the rest of the tribute, the part that is not burned, the part that is not the pleasing aroma by way of fire, when it becomes the Holy of Holies, then it becomes the exclusive property of the priests. Now, the uncooked portion, then, of the tribute is burned, this handful and so forth, but then it can come cooked in one of several ways. Verse 4 describes it being cooked in an oven. Verse 5, in something like a griddle. In verse 7, something more like a covered pan. So there are several ways that they are permitted to cook it, which you can think of, and we can see perhaps many different things in it, but at least this one, the cooked portion, since it's for Aaron and his sons, he permits that there would be some variety in how it is prepared. And it is a kindness of God, on the one hand, to those servants who are going to serve the tabernacle, and then it also is giving the people the opportunity to show a kindness and appreciation, not only for the king to whom they bring the tribute, the memorial portion, but also there's some selection on their part, isn't there, for how they're going to cook it for the priestly family, the Holy of Holies. The one thing that cannot be done, although that might have sounded tasty for Aaron and his sons, is adding yeast or honey. Yeast and honey making the bread, yes, perhaps more appetizing and fluffy, but also yeast and honey making the bread more quick to mold, rather than being cracker. You wouldn't have yeast or sugar in the bread if it was going to be MREs and have to spend time in the field. Also, this is the idea behind the salt that must always be added. Salt has the opposite effect of the yeast and honey. It slows decay. And so there's something here of the lastingness that that is communicated in the bond between king and subject when the tribute is brought to the king. You don't bring him something just as when we were thinking about the ascension offering. You don't bring him something with any blemishes in it. So also the tribute offering signifying the bond between the two. You don't bring something that is going to be unlasting, but something that will persevere. And so the salt here is called the salt of the covenant. And it indicates the strength of the bond between the two. Now the first fruits, really starting in verse 12, with the exception of verse 13, which is the salt portion. The first fruits would have been the very first portion of what they bring to the Lord. And these would be fresh heads of grain, not ground into flour and then cooked. but roasted full heads. These two, from these as well, a memorial portion is burned and goes up to the Lord. Now, it is Yahweh, it is the Lord who sets the terms of the tribute, because he is the greater one. The people belong to him. He has given them all that they have. And now when they ascend to him with the ascension, in what is sometimes called the whole burnt offering from chapter 1, they must come with tribute that will also become smoke, an offering made by fire. Remember that that's the language of transferring to smoke. So they go up in their representative, their substitute, who is transformed to smoke so that he may ascend to the Lord. And now his tribute is also transformed to smoke so that it may ascend to the Lord. And they would not appear their sovereign, appear before their sovereign without the tribute. Today our Lord Jesus is not only our substitute who is gone on our behalf into the Holy of Holies in glory, but in addition to being our substitute, he is our tribute. It is he whom we bring to God in the hand of faith. When we come to worship God in the public worship, we must always come with the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in him, coming through him, offering everything that we offer, not only in our union with him who has ascended, but by faith in him. So the singing you offer, trusting in Jesus to be the representative on your side who offers it to God. And he is the great singer in the congregation. The prayers you offer, you trust in Jesus to present the prayers in glory. You trust Jesus to present your reading and hearing of his word in glory. Just like Hebrews 2 describes, using that language from Isaiah. I will put my trust in him. Here am I and the children whom God has given me. We come bringing Christ as our tribute. There is still on earth the principle of taking care of the material needs of those through whom the Lord ministers to us on earth. But Jesus, of course, does not have needs. He's not like Aaron and his sons. He doesn't need bread, even though he uses men who need bread on the earth. But he is our great tribute. There's nothing else that will please God as he does. So God said at one time, when you come and when you ascend, here is the tribute that you will bring. You're going to bring fine flour mixed with oil and frankincense. This is what will please the sovereign. You don't get to decide to bring roses instead. Well, now that we come and we are represented already in heaven by Jesus, he says, this is what you bring in tribute. Bring the Lord Jesus Christ. There are other things that we offer in Christ that come through him, particularly the sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of prayers that go up as sweet-smelling incense, like the frankincense that is burned on the tribute offering. But this is what the Lord wants us to bring in our hand. And faith, of course, is by hand. You don't bring Jesus in your hand. You come laying hold of him by faith. And he says, bring my son. He is the bread of life who came down from heaven for us. And now he is the one that we bring to God. We come to God with him. We come to God through him. And just like 1 Corinthians 5 teaches us, we must not bring any leaven of sin, but instead we must bring the salt of the covenant, which is that commitment to him, that love for him, that obedience to his law, that righteousness that he is producing in us, that shows the lasting nature of the bond between us and God. So let us see to it that whenever we come to God in worship, we come bringing Jesus in hand. God is the King, and we are the happy subjects, and we bring what he loves, and he loves Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to remember and rejoice over the fact that you are our King, and you have taken us as your subjects, that we belong to you. You are our patron, and we are your glad dependents. So grant that whenever we come in worship, we would come with that in hand which pleases you as the required tribute, even Jesus Christ, whom you have provided in the first place, and in whose name we ask it. Amen.